Welcome to Global Wafers 2Q21. Thanks. Oh, so this is Asu from joining us today from Global Wafers, Kelly first and spokesperson William Chen. First, we'll provide a business overview and followed by written versus quick details. After the prepared remarks, first and William will provide more details of the recent. Hi, William. Are you there?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Global Wafers First Half 2021 Earnings Call. I'm William Chen, Global Wafer Vice President and Company Spokesman. We also have Doris Xu, Chairperson and the CEO of Global Wafers in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments first. And then I will present the commitment for sustainability, the electronic transaction, industry overview, first half 2021 performance update, and the ESG highlights. The final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as usual. For today's presentation material, we have uploaded onto a company's website around 2 hours ago. If you do not have the file on hand, please access into our website to get the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. They are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. Actual results or trends could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation, page 1, disclaimer. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to Doris for the page 2 executive comment. Doris, please, thanks.
Thank you, William. Good day, everyone. Thank you very much for joining Global Wafers earnings call of the first half 2021. Please, if you have the material, it's on page 2. First half 2021 is a tough 6 months for us. We had 2 big earthquakes in Japan in February. We had 1 week extreme weather in the U.S. And also we have several power outages in the U.S., the worst drought in the past half century in Taiwan in the past six months. And exchange rate, NT dollar exchange rate sharp appreciation, and also COVID-19 steep increase again in many countries. These are the headwinds we experienced in the first half this year. Some of them were over, some else are still not over yet. Despite of these challenges, we have been able to achieve a quite well first half result this year, so we're very happy for this result. Revenue-wise, our Q2 revenue, our June revenue reached 5.4 billion. Our Q2 revenue totaled 15.2 billion NT. Both of these two revenues hit the third highest in our history. The cumulative revenue in the first half hit 30 billion NT with 10.3% Y on Y. In terms of profitability, our Q2 EBITDA, net income, and EPS all hit the record high. Our Q2 EPS amounted to NT dollar 9.09. This is our best ever EPS per quarter. And the first half this year, our EBITDA and the first half cumulative EPS, which amounted to 15.27 NT dollar per normal share, per common share, soared to the third highest in the history. Our accumulated cash flow from operation achieved to 10.3 billion NT, or US dollar 371 million. And the cash on hand, including the restricted cash from the repatriated offshore funds, and NT dollar 52 billion NT, or US 1.8 billion. The prepayment at the end of the second quarter were 19 billion NT, or US dollar 682 million. reflecting our correct operation strategy and also emphasize the strengths of our business model and financial moat. I think there is another very important message and commitment we would like to present to the public today. This is our commitment for sustainability. This is one of the most important topics I would like to cover this year, today, to the public. Today, Global Wafers makes a very important announcement to show our resolution of a greener future. We pledge our global operation basis to use 100% renewable energy by 2050. We understand the significance of the announcement. Semiconductor wafer manufacturing consumes huge amount of electricity. The energy transition is difficult to realize. However, we also deeply perceive the importance of a sustainable future. What differs us from other manufacturers is that we have 17 operational and production sites in 9 countries. With the extensive global footprint, we could leverage and make the best use of our economic of skills. Additionally, our parent company, Sino American Silicon, is a vertical integration solar business player with decades of experience in solar cell module and power plants. So these unique advantages help us to achieve the sustainability goal and address climate change and extreme weather. So we will increase the weight of green energy by implementing the profound experience of Sino American Silicon in building solar power plants, along with signing renewable energy power purchase agreement, and also purchasing some RECs, renewable energy certificates. Our progressive goals are, we want to reach 20% by 2030. We want to reach 35% by 2035, and 50% by 2040. And by 2050, we want to reach 100% renewable energy. This is our goal in our each milestone for our renewable energy 100%. So from other ESG highlights, I would like to also update several recent efforts in ESG aspects. We joined an innovation social platform in Europe to help corporations to plant trees via participation. Global Wafers plants thousands of trees in Italy, Europe, Africa, and many countries to support, and we support reforestation and CO2 absorption and help the local community. And also, we apart from the environment issues, we have some big progress in Japan. We won an award named the Eruboshi Award in Japan. This is our Utsunomiya fab in Japan, one of our entity in Japan, who has contributed a lot in advancing women in workforce. Our dedications are widely approved and recognized, and we are bestowed the Eruboshi Award by Japanese Minister of Health, Labor, and Welfare. Also, another important progress we made in the past 6 months is water saving. You know very well that in Taiwan we suffered very serious drought in the past 6 months. So water saving was a very critical task for all the engineering team to continue our operation or even perform better than before. So under this kind of extreme weather events, Taiwan, I think we suffered this a lot. So. But in the past 6 months, we achieved a very good water saving, including that we decreased our water consumption and also we increased our recycle volume as well. Next, I would like to update a little bit about our planned financial measures. Let me quickly update our planned financial measures. We have an ECB, which has already been launched on June 1st. The ECB conversion price was adjusted from original conversion price 1040.2 down to 1028.46 since this year, July 22, due to the cash dividend distribution we made. This is one update for our ECB. And for corporate bond, for CB, regarding to the corporate bond, our total amount is 22 billion NT, and we have already issued the first one, which is 9.5 billion. We issued this one in May, and the rest are expected to be issued in 1 year as scheduled. Next one is the Siltronic transaction. I would like to update the status of the regulatory approval in difference in various jurisdictions. Regarding Siltronic transaction, the regulatory approval process remains on track basically. We expect to close in the second half of 2021 and change. This is still the same as the original plan. So up to today, we have already received clearance from Germany, Austrian, Korean, Taiwan, Singapore, and antitrust authority, and also we received CBS as well. Of course, we have several more countries to clear, and we are expecting to close everything by end of the year. That's still the plan. That's still our expectation. Next, I would like to share some industry and our overall outlook. According to the World Bank, we are seeing a very strong 2021, expanding by 5.6%, which is also the strongest post-recession pace in 80 years. These are underpinned by vaccination, gradual relaxation of the pandemic control measures, and rising confidence. So we have seen many downstream manufacturers announce the intention to expand capex to meet the boosting 5G penetration and growing momentum for communication, computing, and medical care, and the needs for wafer. The fundamental materials are expected to soar as well. Semiconductor silicon wafers will have more growth in terms of both shipments and revenue in the next couple of years. We think that automotive chip shortage continues. We are seeing more and more leading automotive manufacturers replacing their policy from just-in-time inventory policy practice with LTA. So this is a good move from our viewpoint. In smartphone, 5G commercialization is moving at a rapid and unprecedented pace. Connectivity-related market is strong due to service providers are accelerating 5G rollout. And the robust demand for a cheap smartphone further fueling 5G growth. So that is one of the key drivers for the silicon wafer demand as well. So the above are my general comments for the market. Later on, William will share more details with everyone. Thank you very much for listening. And William, please share more details. Thank you.
Thanks, Doris. Please turn to page 6. Commitment to 100% renewable energy. As company news released today, GlobalWafers commit to achieve 100% renewable energy usage over all of group's global operation base by 2050, aiming to reduce carbon emissions by practical action. Supplemented by climate footprint, 20% by 2030, 35% by 2035, and 50% by 2040. Usage ratio of renewable energy gradually achieve the long-term goal of 100% renewable energy. On electricity consumption and contribute to the sustainable environment. Page 7, Sweden Green the Print. Sweden founded in 2010 in Florence, Italy. It's an innovative social platform that allows anyone and the corporation to plant trees in different countries of the world. Current areas are Italy, Africa, South America, and Southeast Asia. The objective of the organization was described as the sustainable development goals on one side, and the sustainable food production and income security for farmers on the other side. Freedom works in collaboration with a small collective of farmers, local community, and the NGO across different countries. From participation, Global Weavers directly finances farmers around the world, bringing environmental, social, and financial benefits to their communities, supporting agroforestry projects and the CO2 absorption. Page 8, inclusive workplace. Global Weavers is committed to supporting gender equality, advancing women in the workplace globally. Our Japan Utsunomiya factory, MJL, has received the highest level Iwabushi certification from Japan government. This acquisition reflects MJL's sustained dedication to improving female career paths. The Iwabushi is based on the Act on Promotion of Women's Participation and Advancement in the Workplace by Japanese Minister of Health, Labor, and Welfare. Next, update the Siltronic transaction moving progress after last call in May. Please refer to page 10, Development of Takeover Offer for Siltronic. As described right now by Doris, up to date, Global Weavers has received a clearance from Germany, Austria, Korea, Taiwan, and the Singapore antitrust authorities, and the CFIUS in the U.S. The settlement schedule of the takeover offer is still no change, expected to be completed in the second half of 2021, following receipt of required regulatory approval. Now, let me share some pages of industry overview. Please turn to page 12. Global GDP growth forecast. First, by COVID-19 pandemic, there was -3.5% contraction in 2020. Global economy is set to expand 5.6% in 2021. It is the strongest post-recession path in 18 years. This 5.6% is combining 5.4% in advanced economies, with 6% in emerging markets. Page 13, worldwide semiconductor market forecast by region. Worldwide semiconductor market growth 6.8% to $440 billion in 2020. Also, 19.7% growth to $527 billion in 2021. And further, 8.8% growth to $573 billion in 2022. All regions are expected to show positive growth rate from 2020 to 2022. Asia Pacific is still the most major market in the world. Page 14, worldwide semiconductor market focused by product. The largest growth contributors are memory with 31.7%. Followed by sensors with 22.4% and analog with 21.7% in 2021. Logic and micro are also expected to show double-digit growth rate. Optoelectronics is with 9.8% growth and the mode with 8.1% growth. Page 15, high-volume fab start construction. To meet escalating wide-range chip market demand, semiconductor manufacturers have been started 19 new high-volume fab construction by end of 2021, and to be groundbreaking another 10 fabs in 2022. Taiwan and China are the biggest two areas for new fab construction. Page 16. Worldwide IT market forecast to top $500 billion in 2021. Worldwide IT market exceeded $300 billion in 2017 and $400 billion in 2018 respectively. It is projected to have 24% growth and breakthrough $500 billion in 2021, driven by the entire IT market strong demand. It is also forecast to see continued growth next year and in 2023 to exceed $600 billion. Page 17. Memory upstream returns new record high expected in 2022. Memory IC sales are forecast to reach $180 billion in 2022, renew the previous record high set in 2018. It is expected to have further 22% growth, reaching $220 billion in 2022. Page 18. Global electric vehicle market, contributed by growing demand for low-emission commuting and the government support. The global electric vehicle market size is projected to grow from 4.1 million units in 2021 to 34.8 million units by 2030 at 26.8% CAGR. Page 19, Vice status. Penetrate every region by 2026. 5G commercialization is moving at a rapid pace. Service providers continue to invest in 5G deployment. In 2026, 5G is forecast to account 65% mobile subscriptions in Northeast Asia, 69% in West Europe, and 84% in North America. Now let's move to page 21, first half 2021 performance update. Page 21, first half 2021 financial highlights. About first half 2021 financial performance. A service highlight right now, global wafers first half reach. Both June and the Q2 revenue hit the third highest in the history. First half revenue exceeded $30 billion. With 10.3% YOY growth. Q2 EBITDA percentage reached a record high. First half EBITDA percentage was the third highest in the history. Q2 net income is a record high. Q2 EPS, $9.09, reached a record high. First half EPS, $16.27, was the third highest in the history. Page 22, QOQ financial highlights. In QOQ comparison table, global wafers reached all better Q2 financial results than Q1, with revenue plus 2.7% increase, EBITDA percentage plus 11.4%, operating profit percentage plus 1.3%, net profit percentage plus 7.8%, EPS plus $2.91, ROE plus 10.8%, and ROA plus 2.7%. These outstanding results were achieved by companies, all factories, higher capacity utilization, emerging markets recovery strong demand from that semi down cycle. Page 23, YOY financial highlights. For YOY comparison table, except operating profit percentage, most 2Q 2021 financial results were superior than 2Q 2020. Page 24, financial highlights, first half 2021 versus first half 2020. For this half year comparison, first half 21 versus first half 20, the first half 21 was better revenue, EBITDA, operating profit, and the net profit. This recovery result firmly demonstrated that the leading industry's growing demand had worked out from the COVID-19 impact since 2020. Page 25, revenue and gross margin. Even market is still impacted by COVID-19 and higher logistics costs, increasing material prices, unfavorable weaker U.S. dollars headwind. Global Wafers is still generating 7 consecutive quarterly revenue growth. 2Q21 gross margin strongly rebounded 1.6% from 35.1% in 1Q21 up to 36.7% in 2Q21. Page 26, EBITDA and EPS. First half 21 EBITDA to revenue percentage reached to 39.9%, that was continuously increasing from year 2018, 2019, and 2020. First half EPS 16.27 NT$ was the third highest in the history. Page 37, income statements. In first half 21 income statements, just recap. First half revenue exceeded $30 billion with YOY 10.3% growth. First half EBITDA percentage was the third highest in the history. First half EPS 15.27 NT$ was the third highest in the history. Page 28, balance sheet. In first half 21 balance sheet, just highlight. First half cash and cash equivalent. Huge increasing was mainly because of ECB and the DB issuing in Q2. Then for the long-term loan increasing was driven up by ECB and the DB issuing. The shareholder equity was continuously increasing to $45.5 billion. Page 30 to 37 for ESG highlights. Page 30, sustainable environment way. Global Wafers continuously improved its waste management by advancing manufacturing process to reduce waste, generate as well as recycle and reuse. More than 80% of our industrial waste could be recycled and reused. Page 31, sustainable environment, water. Through effective water recycling measures, our total water recycle quantity was 5,674 cubic meters in 2020, and a gradually increase over years. Page 32, committed to green energy. Here is June, the cumulative solar capacity reached 17.5 megawatts, which could generate 21 million kWh electricity and equal to reducing 10,760 tons of CO2 emissions and planting more than 978,000 trees per year. Page 33, ethical business practice. Global Wafer is continuously running ethical business through achieving legal compliance, formulating code of ethical conduct by strong, setting up a brilliant system and establishing risk assessment mechanism. Page 34, corporate governance. Global Wafers is dedicated to achieving corporate governance and to fulfill its social responsibility. With the determination, Global Wafers has been awarded the top 5% among all Taiwan listed companies for 3 consecutive years. Page 35, volunteering, confidence matters. Global Wafers employees, also their families and their friends, continuously participating in community services, not only in various charity donations, but also for environmental protection volunteer activities. Page 36, sharing makes a difference. Global Wafers encourages employees to spread their love by giving back to society, sharing for the advantage group to fulfill corporate social responsibility. Page 37, caring employee welfare. Global Wafers enhance overall employee benefits through 4 aspects programs: workplace, health, life resources, and welfare, to deepen team bonding and improve team spirit. Above is my presentation. Thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Doris for Q&A session. Doris, please.
Thank you, William. Yes, next is the Q&A section. I think in order to answer as many questions as possible, so we collect all the questions we received in the past 1 week up to today, and we answer the most frequently repeated asked question. And I will answer those questions first, and after I finish this summary Q&A, then I will open up for further Q&A. So let me start from the Siltronic expansion announcement. So we receive a lot of questions about this one. Okay, so the first question is that about Siltronic Greenfield Fab expansion announcement. Please give us some comments about this announcement. Our answer is that we cannot comment on Siltronic's business decision. It is our policy to not comment on investment decisions or any business decisions made by others. So the policy doesn't change with our tender offer as we remain separate and independent companies until the close. So we remain still very excited by the combination with Siltronic, and we continue to see significant synergies that will accrue to the combined companies, our customers, and shareholders. So this is our answer to this question. And the second question for Siltronic expansion is that we were asked that is this Greenfield expansion the cold decision from you two companies? Our answer is that no, it's not. We remain separate and independent companies until the close of our tender offer. So this is a Siltronic decision. This is not a co-decision from two companies. Next question is that will GlobalWafers capacity expansion plan be impacted by Siltronic's announcement? Our answer is that no, we have our own policy and expansion strategy. Siltronic's expansion announcement will not affect our own expansion policy or decision. So these are the questions about Siltronic's expansion announcement. And next are some regulatory approvals related questions. The first question is about regulatory approval is that have there been any updates or change to the expected timing to close for your acquisition of Siltronic? The answer is that there have not been any change to the expected timing to close. The regulatory approval process remains on track, and we continue to expect the transaction to close in the second half of this year as previously communicated. And another question we received is that what is the status of the regulatory approval in China, given there have been several blocking cases between China and Europe? For example, Applied Material, LPE transaction. So there are several cases blocked in China. So we were asked that what's the status of the regulatory approval in China. Our answer is that the regulatory approval in China remains on track, and we continue to expect that the transaction to close in the second half this year. Our transaction will be assessed on its own merits, so we do not consider that other transactions were relevant. We also see some news in Taiwan talking about some rumors, but just want to officially reply that this is so far everything is on track, including China. And next is some financial related questions. The question we're asked is that the debt ratio in GlobalWafers half year report has come to 65% as of end of June. So why is this so much higher than end of Q1, which was 54% in Q1. Here is our answer. We issued 6.5 billion NT in NTD corporate bonds, and we also issued $1 billion in ECB in the second quarter. So these two fundraising activities resulting in an increase in our long-term debt by 32.579 billion NT from the previous quarter. So although the cash portion also increased by NT 34.068 billion at the same time, the debt ratio increased due to the amplification of effect of the calculation formula. So this is our explanation why the debt ratio as of end of June is so much higher than end of March in this year. And next question is that so far Global Wafer has already issued 6.5 billion NT corporate bond out of total approved amount of 22 billion NT. Will Global Wafer consider to issue more, and when will the issuance be completed? Our answer for this one is that depending on the market conditions and the company's funding needs, the Global Wafers can choose to issue more tranches within 1 year in accordance with the original schedule. So this is our plan, our answer. Okay, and next is some business related. Next is some business related questions. The first question is from our sales revenue, Global Wafer sales revenue, QOQ and YOY improvement. That is very clear. We see the improvement in the second half second quarter this year. So the question is that could you discuss in detail which are the factors driving the growth of the silicon of the business? Is it led by shipment increase, product mix improvement, or spot price upward trend? Our answer is that connectivity, smartphone, automotive, power devices, these are the key drivers for the growth of our business. Our revenue growth in the first half 2021 was mainly led by shipment increase and product mix. Our new expansion in Korea was finished last year, the second half last year, and now that new fab in Korea has already started ramping up from Q4 last year, and this new factory is now fully loaded. Output quantity from this new factory in Korea has already exceeded its original design capacity. So that is one of the key contributors for our revenue increase in the first half of this year. And next question is about the outlook of the second half. What's your expectation for the raw material shipments and pricing trend in Q3 this year with a tech end market remaining solid? Our answer is that all of our production lines will remain fully loaded in the third quarter this year. Like the past two quarters. So for pricing, our company policy is not to comment on pricing, so we will not comment on the pricing, but the loading for the third quarter this year will be same as the past two quarters, meaning that it will be fully loaded. That's what we have already seen from the firm orders and the OTA. So it seems that most of our customers' demand in the second half 21 and even 2022 will remain very strong. Visibility is still very high, and we have finalized quite a lot of LTAs in the past few months. Some more LTAs are still under discussion with our strategic partners now. So we are pretty confident that the third quarter this year or even the fourth quarter this year loading will be okay, business and demand will be pretty healthy. Next question is about 6-inch, 8-inch, and 12-inch demand. The question is that, could you rank the relative strength and weakness of the raw material, raw wafer demand by wafer size and applications in the near term? Do you see there's any structural change for 6-inch and below business to sustain the current strength into 2022? Our answer is that the demand for 300mm AP, 300mm polish, and 200mm SOI is the strongest ones among all of our other product lines. So those three, 300 AP, 300 polish, and 200 SOI, those three are the strongest among all of our product lines. 200mm and 150 demand is also very solid. So far, based on what we heard from our customer, the business will sustain current strength into 2022 or even 2023. So far, we are quite confident that the demand will remain pretty healthy. But if you compare with the strength of each diameter, I would like to say that those three items are strongest. The other one, 8-inch, is very strong as well. But of course, 8-inch is not as crazy tight as 12-inch epi. And 6-inch is not as strong as 12-inch and 8-inch. That's our current status. Next question, which we have been asked by so many investors and media, is that what about GlobalWafers greenfield project? What's our plan? So the question is that your peers have been discussing the potential investment on the new fabs due to the limited room for further debottlenecking. However, they will require the longer duration contracts with price premium to consider the new fab. Could you let us know that if you have such plan in discussion with your customers, and what will be your criteria for the greenfield investment? Let me answer the question here. This is a very important question as well. Our answer is that we do have mapped out a plan for a greenfield expansion, but we will not launch this plan now. We have the plan ready there, but that's not what we are going to launch for now. Our priority now is our brownfield projects in Japan, our SOI expansion in the US, our EPI expansion in Taiwan and Korea. So all of these expansions are for 300mm. So these brownfield expansions are our first priority in the next 18 to 20 months. New capacity from this brownfield expansion will be available from mid-2023. So these are the most important priority for us right now. So we will finish our debottlenecking and brownfield, as I explained, first, and then we will move to greenfield. So no greenfield for now. We will do our brownfield first. Regarding to our criteria, when we need to move to greenfield, what would be our criteria for greenfield investment? I think as I explained in the past several earnings call, there are three conditions which have to be met before we kick off our greenfield. One is that it has to be right price, and the second one is that we hope that at least 80% of our greenfield capacity has to be covered by LTA. The third one is that the LTAs have to be with prepayment. So all of these three items have to be met before we can trigger our greenfield expansion. One point I would like to highlight here is that when we say LTAs for greenfield, long-term agreement, definitely 1 year, 2 years is not long-term agreement. So for greenfield, the duration of the LTAs have to be longer than our ordinary LTAs. Next question is about our future funding requirement. The question is that based on the funding plans Global Wafer Board has already approved and our cash on hand, do you think that the potential greenfield investment will require additional funding? Our answer here is that, again, we are not going to launch our greenfield expansion now, but when we do our greenfield project, the sources of the needed capital will be mainly from the following. The first one is that from customers' prepayments and the cash generated from our operation, and if needed, we will have some more loans from banks. So that is our answer for this question. Next question is about our capacity and supply demand outlook in 2022. The question is, the raw wafer supply growth should be quite limited following the expansion in the past 3 years, while demand seems to stay solid with supply constraint now across foundry, memories, makers, and IDMs. Do you see wafer demand finally catching up with supply in the first half 21, and the spot pricing is improving from the second half 21? What is your initial view for the industry outlook in 2022? Here is our answer. Our view is that the wafer supply in 2022 will be still pretty tight, especially for 300 millimeter. The product mix in 2022 will be slightly different from 2021. In 2022, the ratio of 300 millimeter will keep increasing rapidly. 300 millimeter wafer shipment keeps growing much faster than any other diameter. So the demand of 300 millimeter, especially 300 millimeter epi, will remain very strong, not only the second half this year, but also it will remain very strong in 2022 and even longer. So that's our view for the demand and capacity availability for silicon wafers in the next 2 years. Next question is about LTA. The question is, your total prepayment has stabilized from 2021 and recently announced the supply contract with GlobalFoundries. Could you discuss the progress on the new contracts and the existing LTA renewals? Are the customers in general more willing to negotiate the contract with better pricing and longer duration? That's a very important question for us as well, and here is our answer. We are working on the LTA negotiation with many of our customers right now. As always, our LTAs are with prepayments. Right now, a very important difference is that right now, the shortest duration of our LTA is 3 years, not the longest, the shortest is 3 years. Basically, we don't sign any 1 year or 2 year LTA. The shortest duration is 3 years. Our customers, in general, our customers is willing to have the contracts with longer duration right now. From our viewpoint, that's definitely win-win for both our customers and we as a supplier. So the trend is for LTA is having longer duration, and pricing-wise also will be improved because the cost is increasing a lot as well. And also when you do expansion, no matter it's brownfield expansion or greenfield expansion, all expansions, depreciation increase, COGS increase a lot as well. So that's why for further expansion, I think silicon wafer cost will increase, price will increase as well. And the last question is about our dividend policy. I think we have received dozens of calls for the dividend policy. The question is that you lowered the dividend payout for 2021 as you would like to reserve more cash for the acquisition and capacity expansion. Can we expect your payout policy will resume back to 75-80% of payout in 2022? I think that our answer is that we slightly lowered our dividend payout this year for 2020's performance. I think it's very likely that our dividend payout will remain at a little bit lower level next year because of the business combination with Siltronic and also for the high capex demand from for our brownfield expansion in the coming two and a half years. So the answer is that next year, I think it's more likely that the dividend payout ratio will remain same as this year. So it means that a little bit lower than our ordinary payout rate. So these are the questions we received in the past several, the past 1 week till now. Thank you very much for listening to the Q&A. So any open question, any question, any further question, please.
Thank you, Doris and William, for the update. We will start the Q&A session. For those who would like to ask questions, please press star 1. In the meantime, maybe I could start with a few questions. Doris, I think my first question is about the investment you mentioned. You said you are going to expand capacity in your facilities in Japan, in Taiwan, and also in the U.S. Could you discuss how much capacity you expect to grow in the next few years, and also your view on the CapEx required to do the brownfield investment in the next couple of years? Thank you.
Haas, thank you very much for the question. I think that we will add the capacity in this area. So a very important thing is that all of these expansions are for 300 millimeter. And this capacity, total capacity, of course, product, new capacity will be a little bit, the promise is a little bit different because we will have a little bit more 300 millimeter EPI and also we will have our 300 millimeter SOI. So altogether, our capacity will be around 10 to 15% higher than where we are today for 300 millimeter. This is the first answer. And the second answer is that for the total capex, I think we will pretty much need somewhere around $800 million for this capex in the next 2 to 2.5 years for this debottlenecking and brownfield, around $800 to $900 million US dollar for the capex in the next 2.5 years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick follow up on this one. Could you provide your CapEx guidance for this year?
This year, we have already made the announcement, but this year it's not really that high. The real payout will be the next 2 years. So this year will be normal, same as what we announced earlier this year. So no big change. But the PO will be released, and the key payout will be the next 2 years.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear. And my second question is about the run-up gains in second quarter. Did you recognize the investment income from Siltronic during the quarter? And so how much did they contribute in second quarter? Thank you.
Siltronic? Are you asking for Siltronic? But we don't... sorry about that. Was the question? You are asking Siltronic what profit?
Investment.
Yeah, we don't have any details about their investment.
Oh, I mean, your investment income from Siltronic during second quarter, did you recognize any of that? Because I see your non-op gain
Yeah. Okay, the dividend, yeah, we have received the dividend in Q2, and that is a part of our other income, or yes, that's in our P&L.
Okay, could you let us know how much you spent during the quarter?
That's 200 million NT, right? Let me check the number. 279 million NT.
Okay, thank you so much, Doris and William.
The dividend from
congratulations on good results again.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And due to so maybe we can open the Q&A session. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Donnie King from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Thank you, Charlie and William, for taking my question. I only have one follow-up question on Haas' question. So, because first quarter we recognize some profit loss, non-operating profit loss from Siltronic's lowering stock price, right? So I think in second quarter we should recognize some positive reversal of the stock price variation from Siltronic in second quarter, right? So could you kindly help us to break down maybe how much EPS in first quarter and second quarter was impacted by Siltronic's stock price volatility so that we can have better view on our core businesses EPS in first quarter and second quarter? Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. I think roughly in Q1, it was about 1.5 down EPS wise, and from Siltronic related, and the second quarter it is somewhere around 1.5, 1.6 up EPS.
Oh, I see. So roughly the same.
That's
because
right.
Because my previous, I thought that second quarter, the strong stock price performed relatively well, so maybe we can recognize more EPS from Siltronic's variation. But
no.
Anyway, it looks like to be flat. So,
right.
So our core business, in that case, our core business is like, EPS is like roughly flat in the first quarter and second quarter. Is that correct?
Second quarter is still better than first quarter.
Okay.
Gross margin wise also, yeah. I think operating income, even we remove all the Siltronic related issues, second quarter is better than Q1.
Okay, Tony. Thank you, Shirley.
Hi, thank you, Tony.
Okay, I think due to the time constraint, we will open for the last question. Lisa, please go ahead. Thank you.
Your last question comes from Bruce Lu from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Bruce, your line is now open.
Hello, Bruce? Can't hear you.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes, Bruce.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you, Bruce. Yes.
Oh. Okay, so the question is about your depreciation amortization in second quarter. The gross margin only increased slightly in second quarter, but the EBITDA margin improved like 12% quarter on quarter. So, which means that the non-depreciation cost per wafer went down a lot in second quarter. So, what happened over there, and what do we expect over there?
I think our revenue is higher as well, and there are The gross margin, a lot of impact from gross margin. You know, Q1 was extremely bad for us because of a lot of disaster, including the earthquake issue. So a lot of those are our costs in Q1. Those are our COGS in Q1 as well.
So what is the depreciation in second quarter versus first quarter?
Depreciation very close. The total depreciation cost is close, but depreciation per wafer is lower in second quarter. But depreciation cost is very close, which is around 1.5, very close to 1.5 billion NT.
But how do you explain that the EBITDA margin improved by 12%, but gross margin only improved by 1%?
EBITDA, I think we have already explained that we have a lot of other income and other income. That's one of part of the reason as well.
I see. Okay. Understand. Thank you.
Okay. And as I explained, part of the other income, you know, in Q1, our other income or our EPS was hit by Siltronic related adjustment, and Q2 was just a reverse.
Okay, I still cannot figure out why from my model, but I will follow up with after the meeting.
Yeah, if needed, you can follow up with our team. I think we have very good number. But some of the number, sorry that we don't disclose so much detail. We will use our, based on our public information to share with you. We internally, we have every detail. I know every detail of that. And it's very clear, a simple way is that we have more shipment and we gross margin increase. So if you see that gross margin increase only 1.something%, but actually total revenue increases. So even 1.something% gross margin increase, actually the value of gross margin amount is much higher than last quarter. And also OPEX is very everything under control. And we have more reverse from the from Siltronic. So and Q1 was an abnormal quarter. So yeah, if you need to know more detail, you can talk with our team. And it's very clear. So we know very well that our Q2 performance is much better than Q1. Not only for the other income, but also even the operation, production, everything under control.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about the gross margin improvement. I just don't know the differences between the EBITDA margin and the gross margin improvement.
Okay.
So anyway, I'll follow up with
questions.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. So we're waiting for the update, and thanks for everyone's participation. If you have any questions, please reach out to the company and also Credit Suisse. Thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you.